Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And if you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, it is found on page 5 in the New Testament. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you need something?
Well, sorry, I really didn't mean to wake you up.
I wasn't sleeping.
Well, it looked like it. Head down, eyes closed, gently snoring.
I wasn't snoring. That was called relaxed breathing.
Okay, so not asleep. I get it. Just practicing your relaxed breathing, deep breathing. With your eyes closed, got it. You know, it's okay to take a nap in the middle of the day. Who am I to judge?
Look, I was not napping. And I wasn't just practicing breathing. If you want to know, I was praying.
Praying to God?
Well, who else would I be praying to?
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you're praying to God. I'd really be worried if you were praying to anybody else.
Oh, so now we have established that I was praying to God. I'm glad that, and I would be concerned if you thought I were praying to someone else. Why did you interrupt me? Could I help you?
No help. I'm good. I guess.
I guess? Well, that doesn't sound all that good.
Well, I admit I do have a few little problems that have been bugging me. Nothing serious, just some little things. Too little even to mention. Certainly not worthy of God's attention.
Well, you know, even little problems can grow into being big problems if you don't deal with them. Could I help you?
Oh, I don't think so. Besides, they're really small.
Oh, for Pete's sake, why don't you just tell me what they are? Maybe I can help you.
Oh, I don't think so. Actually, I'm a little embarrassed to even bring them up.
Well, you did bring it up. Either let me help you with them, or let me get back to my prayers. Hey, what if I just pray for you?
Well, how's that going to help? I haven't told you any of my problems.
Well, I don't need to know your problems. God already knows them. I can ask God to watch over you and to help you with your problems.
And I don't have to do anything?
That's right. I pray for other people all the time. Most people don't even know I'm praying for them.
Ah, undercover praying. I like that. But does it work? I mean, it seems like I should be doing something.
Well, that's called intercessory prayer. And yes, it does work. I pray for people in the hospital. I'm praying for my friend who lost her husband this week. I pray for people I don't know. I probably won't even meet them. Sometimes in the grocery store, I see somebody that's unhappy, and I think, God, help them with whatever's making them look unhappy. God hears my prayers. He multiplies them with other people's prayers. I see answers all the time.
Well, that's great. It's wonderful. Yes, please pray for me and my little problems.
Well, I think you'll be very surprised when you hear me start praying for you.
Regina and Nadine, for that little skit on prayer. Before I begin, I just want to share a little bit about my background. I've been doing what I call art sermons for over 25 years in churches that I've pastored and other churches where I have been invited to speak. And it's always a joy for me, having been a graphic artist before I went into the ministry. I wanted to find a way of combining the passions I have for painting and preaching, and so I came up with what I call art sermons. And during the message, I create a pastel painting. Now I do this every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at our Mosaic service. If you haven't tried that out, I invite you to come. But several people have said, "Why don't you ever do them at our 9:30 service?" And I said, well, there are logistical issues, as you probably noticed this morning. We were doing things a little bit differently. But Pastor Gary and I agreed that we would give it a try this morning. And so I'm going to be doing what I call an art sermon called The Blessing of Prayer. So of all the tenets of the Christian faith, prayer is probably the most accepted yet the least practiced. Why don't we pray? Well, we don't have time. We don't know what to say. We believe that prayer is something we should do, even something we want to do. But it seems a great chasm stands between us and our actually praying. While our souls yearn for prayer, we experience the agony of prayerlessness. We feel distant, separated from God, out of step with God, the flow of life. We want to feel close to God, yet we find it hard to clasp our hands and kneel in silence. Prayer seems so simple until we close our eyes and we face the darkness and the stillness. Thoughts race madly through our mind, words struggle to be formed, and too often we give up the attempt, convinced that our thoughts are not worthy of God and our words foolish and ill-conceived. But prayer is simply talking with God. It is that intimate, ongoing relationship with God that is essential for any relationship. It's not trying to be something we aren't, but rather opening us and revealing ourselves as we truly are to the God who created us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, and who loves us more than any parent ever loved any child. Prayer is thanksgiving. It is acknowledging the gifts God gives and expressing gratitude to the gracious giver. And because each beat of our heart and each breath we take is a gift from God, our prayers need to be just as constant and unceasing. Jesus prayed. It's remarkable when you think about it that the Son of God felt the need to pray. You might think that of all people, Jesus would not need to pray. Yet of all people, he knew best the power of prayer. In fact, it could be said that his entire life was a prayer. His day began in private prayer. Prayer preceded many of his miracles. He agonized in prayer in the shadow of the cross, and a prayer was on his lips when he breathed his last breath. Jesus knew firsthand the power of prayer. He knew that prayer opened up the channels of God's power, the power of creation, the power of the universe, the power of life itself. He knew that prayer is more than just talking to God. Prayer is as vast as God because God himself is behind it. Prayer is as mighty as God because he has committed himself to answer it. Prayer is tapping into the very wellspring of life, accessing the source of life itself, and allowing that awesome creative power to be at work for change and for growth. When prayer is at work, miracles happen. The disciples saw that power at work. They saw what the power of prayer could do. It could heal. It could produce miracles. It was the key that unlocked the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God was and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. It's no wonder that the one thing the disciples asked Jesus to do was to teach them to pray. Teach us how to approach God with our needs and our desires. Teach us how to develop that special relationship with the holy, almighty, everlasting God that you call Abba. Father, teach us, O Lord, how to pray. To clasp the hands in prayer is an act of faith. When we close our eyes, we leave the sensory world of sight and sound and give ourselves over to the darkness, not knowing what to expect or what is expected of us. Prayer is an act of faith because we can no longer rely on our senses, but must make that leap of faith to somehow know and accept that God is with us, even though we cannot see or hear him. In that silent darkness, we must believe that God is listening. Always listening, always ready to hear our deepest needs, our greatest fears. In the midst of doubt, we want to believe that God has the answers. And so we pray as an act of faith. In faith, we go to meet our God on our knees with hands folded, contrite, head bowed, knowing we are not worthy to enter into God's presence, but knowing that we must if we are to commune with the Almighty. In faith, we trust that God, in God, not blindly, but with confidence, that in a world of falsehoods, he is truth. In faith, we listen for the word of God, that still, small voice that speaks to our heart of hearts, reassuring us that God is near. Prayer is an act of faith, and that faith itself is a gift from God. Our faith is only as strong as our beliefs, which are grounded on the solid foundation of God's promises. Prayer is as varied as our ways of expression of thought and emotion. It is the prayer of confession, that heartfelt prayer when we acknowledge our distance from God and from each other, and the sin that has broken that relationship. It is the anguished cry of the lost and the abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? It is the prayer of suffering, and it is the prayer of hope. To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. Our prayer, to the extent that it is fully authentic, undermines the status quo. It is a spiritual underground resistance movement. In a world of injustice, oppression, and violence, we, like the prophet Amos, demand that justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an overflowing stream. In our prayers and in our actions, we stand firm against racism, sexism, nationalism, ageism, and every other ism that separates, splits, and divides. You see, prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting our will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. If we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than is our power to give them. And this must lead us to prayer. Intercession is one way that we love others. In fact, prayer is love raised to the greatest power. The prayer of intercession is the noblest and most Christian of prayers because it is selfless and a self-giving prayer. Jesus prayed. Oh, how he prayed. He prayed and the winds were stilled. He prayed and the sick were made well. He prayed and the dead were raised to new life. He prayed and lives were changed. Prayer has that power. Prayer found expression in all of Jesus' life, from the heights of joy to the depths of despair. And that power is ours when we open our hearts to God and come to him in a spirit of surrender and in an attitude of prayer. And when we do, we find that we are blessed. Amen?
Amen.